David Lovejoy with KGNC News Radio. I'm joined today by a fellow Sandy, an Amarillo citizen, a man that was a financial planner, a CPA here in Amarillo, and then something changed his life. He's here today to talk. He's published some books on finances, but this is his first book, just a written book, something about his life. It's called Doggone It. There's his dog, Sophie, on the cover. Mr. Tracy Hayes is joining us today. Welcome, Tracy.
David, it's a pleasure to be here. I really looked forward to this. And when I first told you about this book, and I ran into you a couple of times, you were always so kind to say, hey, how's that book coming?
Yes.
And so you took a real interest in that. And the fact that you're having me here today is really, really honoring to me. Thank you.
So, well, this book, you came out, it was released earlier this week on the 20th, and you sent me an advance copy, and I got a chance to sit and read this book. And you said, listen, it's not War and Peace, it's not 14 manuals, and it's a little different from what we're used to. And when I read it and sat and got to read this book, it may not be, you know, 500,000 words, but every word is valuable, and I think people can get something out of this. And we have to start of how your journey is. Like I said, you grew up here in Amarillo, went to Baylor University, Amarillo High, Amarillo College, did a Baylor, a successful businessman, wrote books about finances, and a family man, a beautiful wife, beautiful family, beautiful kids. And one day, 5 years ago, something changed. Your life was upended. Tell everybody about that incident.
Well, in August of 2014, I had decided I wanted to do a half Ironman triathlon. So I went out one day for a 40-mile bike ride. And so I told Elaine and said, hey, I'll be back around, you know, 5:30, maybe 6 o'clock, something along those lines. And so I went out for a 40-mile bike ride. And so when I got basically to Hollywood and Western, I was turning left on Western, and I was struck by a car and suffered a traumatic brain injury. And Elaine tells the story that she started looking at her watch around 5:45 and said, Tracy, I ought to be back. But she said her first clue was when she saw some police officers coming down the street, and they were looking for her house. And they drove past, and so she thought, this doesn't look right, because they were driving slowly, like they were trying to figure something out. And so when they came back and approached the house, Elaine walked out to him, and her first question was, is he alive? Before they even said anything, is he alive? And they said, Mrs. Hayes, we're here to tell you that your husband's been in an accident, and please follow us. We're going to go to Northwest Texas Hospital.
My goodness gracious. Now, that started you on another journey. That was a journey of healing yourself and finding yourself. Now, you gave a great definition. We can break an R. We can tear an ACL, an MCL. And it's pretty well, like you said, there's some nuances. You might need some screws. You might need a pin. But that bone will heal.
Right. They're basically going to set the bone and where it can start healing.
Now, with a TBI, a traumatic brain injury, tell us what that incorporates. What, you know, kind of the feel and how to describe that.
Well, the neurologist said that the actual injury was called a brain shear, and traumatic brain injury was the aftermath of that. Mm-hmm. But the brain shear, the best way he described it is, imagine you're holding a bowl of Jell-O and you shake that Jell-O. Well, that Jell-O is going to have cracks all the way through it, and that's why traumatic brain injuries are so unique. I mean, there's some characteristics that carry on with all patients, but basically, because everybody's brain cracks are different, we don't really, there's not a standard, it's not like a broken arm.
Right.
They're going to be different, and so it's just, and that's why they say that during the therapy, they're trying to figure out what the issues are.
Yeah. Now, that started, like you said, on a whole new path. You were taken to Northwest Texas Hospital. You were in a coma. You were knocked out for several weeks. You regained consciousness, and your life was different from that point on. You went to, was it the Pate Rehab Center?
Well, that was the second place.
That's so second.
The first place was the Baylor Rehab Center.
Baylor Rehab Center.
And, you know, the best way I can describe that is I remember, you know, there's, you know, I've been very fortunate that most of my memories are intact. I remember my childhood. I remember my high school, college days. I remember the birth of all my children. I remember meeting and falling in love with Elaine. So, and getting married to her and most of our trips. I mean, all the major memories I remember. But there is a 6-week window of time that's blank in my mind. So I don't remember anything at all about being in Northwest Texas Hospital.
So that starts you on the path to rehab, to getting back to what we could hope is a normal for you. There's a picture in the book where you're in the rehab center and you have a shopping cart.
Right.
And you're learning how to walk and balance again.
That's,
so you had to do everything all over.
Exactly. And that, you know, what I remember about Baylor and Pate is it was almost like being in kindergarten again. You know, it was so fun learning things again. Mm-hmm. And the difference was, you know, once I was told how to do it, I didn't, you know, if you think of a toddler, sometimes they have to tell and retell. But with me, basically, once they showed me, I could kind of grasp it and like, oh, yeah, that's how we do that. But what's really wild is, and again, I don't remember this per se, but Elaine tells me that when I was at Baylor, they would come in every day and they'd ask the same questions, you know, what's your name, what's your birthday, what's your wife's name, all those basics to see if I was, you know, cognitive or not. Mm-hmm. And they would bring in these little, you know, those little puzzles that kids work on?
Yeah,
little block puzzles. They'd bring in 5 or 6, 7 puzzles. And so what was wild is I couldn't do those puzzles. And but from the beginning, I could tie my shoes. So, I mean, it's just really... It's just weird, different little things that were kind of interesting.
And you tell the story, and I've heard this from your wife. We do something about Christmas memories. What's your favorite Christmas memory? And your wife had told the story. We did over the air about you got to come home. You finally got to come home during the holiday season.
Oh, and that was such a big deal because I don't remember many negative things about Pate Rehab, the second place I went to. But the only thing I do remember is being terribly homesick because I'd been gone for like 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that adds to the emotional toll. You're not in a familiar place and you're trying to recover. And so I'm sure, especially with a TBI, that adds to the stress of it. Now, you come home and it's a rebuilding process. And in this book, Elaine says, well, we ought to get a puppy. And it kind of parallels this growth of this puppy and the understanding of this puppy and the traits of this puppy are sort of the path you took of how to read cues and how to do certain things. Now, you have something, it's alexia.
Correct.
And it's word blindness. Tell the people a little bit about what word blindness is.
Well, what happens is, you know, especially the shorter words, I read them pretty well, but I'd say a word that's, you know, 6 letters or longer, sometimes I will look at a word and see something different. For example, the other day, I was reading and the sentence said weeping and I saw keeping. It's not that I see the same letters, mix up the same letters all the time. It's just random letters. Mm-hmm. But as I read that sentence a couple of times, It you know, keeping didn't make sense. It needed to be weeping. So I finally figured out that that's what it was. And so what I tell everyone is with this condition, I now have 3 speeds, slow, slower, and slowest. Because it takes a long time. And it takes a long time. Anytime I'm dealing with something new, mm-hmm. you know, and that's one of the characteristics of TBI patients is they typically want, they become rather rote mm-hmm. in their what they're doing because the new is harder to figure out.
Right. The routine is comforting.
Exactly.
The daily comforting. Well, you get this puppy and she's a rambunctious thing and just full of energy.
Oh, she's a half border collie, half Brittany Spaniel.
Oh, my gosh.
And she is high octane.
Yeah, high octane. And you kind of relate that about how this dog can be all over the place and how her her learning curve and how she was trained, just little certain nuances that were different than like any other dog you had. And you've had other dogs, and right. you tend to like you're like me. Those dogs are cute, the teacups and all that, but I like a dog. And this dog, the fetch story of how she figured out, and it's not far enough, or she would bring this rope bone, and she'd say,
that's her favorite toy, the rope bone.
Yeah. And she would bring it so far.
She likes those little squeakers. Mm-hmm. And so that little rope bone, and I like that toy because you can toss it a long way, and she'll go get it. But she would bring it, and, you know, the thing is, when she fetches the bone, sometimes she takes the long journey around. Sometimes she brings it right back. But you never really know what her journey is going to be. Mm-hmm. But she will come and... But she won't bring it to your feet, you know, and I refuse to get up. Maybe I'm just being lazy, but I'm sure I refuse to get up to fetch it.
Yeah.
You know, no, you're playing fetch. Yeah, you're supposed to bring it back.
and that was sort of your path, too. It wasn't just a straight. It was a roundabout. You had to learn how to do things again. You had to learn the driving test.
That was a real shocker
to
me that, you know, And they told me at Pate Rehab that different counties have different rules, and some counties, but Potter County, where my residence is, had the deal that if you've had a TBI, you have to retake your driving test. And what was difficult about that for me was they handed out, you know, I went to the DPS and I got a little booklet. It was maybe 45 pages,
right.
You know, not
yeah.
You know, not a manual per se, but it probably took me 2 weeks to read that little 45-page manual. And so just, again, and like you said, David, trying to learn how to live life again is just kind of a deal. So, you know, but it was a pretty big deal to get my license because before then I was dependent on Elaine to take me places, and I wanted to relieve her of that, and it just... It was a big deal.
Getting back to normal.
Exactly.
Now, you talk in this book about the male bravado, machismo, as we can call it that, and how we all know it. Sometimes men are not the most emotional people. I was just joking. We were talking about this book back in my office with our ag director, Shannon Gray, and I was telling her about it. And I said, you know, he talks about men and their emotions, like, you know, to me, if I dropped a great ball of 100-year-old scotch, I might bring a tear to my eye, jokingly. You know, that's what men. And something else is, you know, we watch a romantic movie or romantic comedy. It's like, what's that? But you started after this injury. You had to kind of get back to your emotions and find them and ways to express them.
Right, and that's why Elaine wanted to get this dog to begin with. In fact, when I got home... On the way home, it was December of 2014, she said, I've got the perfect Christmas gift idea for you. I want to get, and of course, if you know us at all, you know that one, if she's got a secret, I'm going to start badgering her till she spills the beans, and she's not going to hold out very long.
Because
that's, we're both like that. We don't keep secrets very well, and we don't like secrets.
Right.
So anyway, but so she said, so I finally got that. I want to get you a puppy because of that very thing you're talking about. TBI patients tend to be disconnected from their emotions. Mm-hmm. And she thought a puppy would help me recognize my emotions and be able to communicate them.
Right.
And so anyway, we talked for a while. Well, one of the other things that's common, at least with me and a lot of other TBI patients, is we, you know, like I was talking to you earlier about, we like the rote. We don't like the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've ever had a puppy before, you know there's all kinds of unknown. And so anyway, so we talked about it for a while, but then we finally decided to pass on it. Well, it was about 6 months later that one of Elaine's really good friends said, my son has a Brittany Spaniel, and that dog is being sired to a Border Collie, and are you interested in a puppy still? And Elaine figured out, said, you know, I didn't want to get Tracy a puppy. I wanted a puppy. And so that's how Sophie came into our life.
Came into your life. And another thing about this book, it talks about your journey and your connection with God and how you redefine that relationship. One of the most poignant points in this book, you talk about a lot of people pray. A lot of people hear God and speak with God. But with your relationship, it's not so much a running conversation. It's more of this thought is in my mind, or this concept comes to me, or this meaning or situation happens. And with the help of God, I work my way through it. I start to understand. I can start seeing the bigger picture. And that was a big step for you. That was a big breakthrough for you when you started once again hearing from God.
Well, I think the biggest thing that I remember kind of my life is basically two categories, pre-accident and post-accident.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So pre-accident, I basically had, when I talked to God, there was a checklist. You pray this, you pray this, you get through the checklist, and, if you pray and you ask God for a good day, if you go through the checklist, well, hey, your day will be blessed. If you don't, well, it won't,
mm-hmm.
or may not be. So anyway, but the biggest difference when I could finally, and it was several weeks before I could actually even hold a conversation with God, because my mind was like a ping pong ball. I mean, it just bounced all over the time, over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't even really hold a thought, conversation very long. But when I finally was able to start talking to God, I wanted to talk to him. It was a whole different mentality, mm-hmm. that I wanted to spend time with God, and I didn't, and since then I've kept the same deal. I don't have a certain time of day, a certain length of time, anything like that. I want to talk to God whenever I've got unhurried time, mm-hmm. where I can sit. And mainly the difference is, another big difference is, when I bring up a subject, I want to sit and not just me do all the talking. I want to listen. I want to hear what he's got to say.
And see, that's at a very important point. We sometimes go and we have this list, and we have this is what I need, and like you said, the checklist. You change that dynamic. Now it's truly a conversation.
Exactly.
It's truly what you want to hear. It's not that anymore. It's not, I need to do this. It's, okay, so show me. Let's talk about this.
Exactly.
And that's remarkable. It's unfortunate you had to go through this accident to find that, but a lot of people should find that path.
It really has made my relationship with God so much more, so much closer, so much more connected, because, again, I really don't go a certain time, a certain length. It really is when I can have a conversation, and basically what I would say is it's a two way. Mm-hmm. I want to hear his thoughts,
Of just making requests.
Exactly.
Now another poignant point in the book is Sophie and her howling. This tickled me, but it made a deep effect on me. You enjoyed seeing Sophie howl.
And oh, it's my favorite thing.
That's her favorite thing. But you said you noticed something, that the sirens of emergency vehicles triggered her howl. That's the only time you saw her howl. That's the only time you howl. And in our life sometimes, the sirens, the emergency in our lives make us cry out for God, make us howl. And it shouldn't be that way. We should be there every day, like you said, in an unhurried moment, to have that conversation.
Well, first off, Sophie's kind of a private howler, because if an emergency vehicle is coming along, I can hear it before she does, or at least before she starts howling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try and get to a spot, because if she starts howling, but then she sees me at the window, or I come out in the backyard or whatever, she'll stop doing it. So I kind of have to either already be in the backyard a lot of times. Well, some of the best times I've heard her howl is when we're out there playing fetch and an emergency vehicle come by and she sits down and we'll start howling. And so, those are the best moments of all.
Right,
but but like I said, it just, again, as I mentioned to you earlier, David, I basically have, after my post-accident, I have three speeds, slow, slower, and slowest. But as I started thinking about her howling, I thought, she never howls unless there's an emergency vehicle. And so it kind of made the point in my mind that a lot of times that's the way we treat God. We're like, hey, you know, something happens, like, oh, God, I need you stat.
Right, right.
You know, I need you right now.
Right.
And I won't bother you the rest of the time.
Right.
But right now, I need you to answer this. And what's even more unfortunate is a lot of times people will have that mentality, and then they'll blame God for something that's
exactly
happened.
Exactly, the bad. My grandmother used to say, just don't call for him in the bad times. Let him know about the good times.
Exactly.
Now, one last thing, Tracy, is this. QBKS. And this became sort of the motto, quit bitching, keep spinning,
right?
Meaning keep going. And you change that S, it can be keep smiling.
Yeah, keep styling,
whatever.
You know, and again, that QBKS was born with my brother-in-law and my niece. We're out on a bike ride, and Joanna said, hey, I'm really tired of this wind. It's really killing our pace. And that's when Bill said, quit bitching, keep spinning. And they got so tickled, they had to pull off on the side of the road and just laugh it out. And so it just has gone on. It's become kind of a family saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was easy to adapt it to triathlons because you just change the spinning to swimming and striding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so Joanne is very creative. She's created lots of T-shirts for us and everything. And so anyway, that has become, but then, you know, we always have this thing that to get a T-shirt for that year, you have to do the race. And so it's just become a real fun family thing. But, you know, when I started, what kind of made me think about Sophie is I was noticing Sophie's tail was wagging all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was just swinging all the time. And so I started trying to figure out, why does that dog swing her tail all the time? So I Googled it and mm-hmm. tried to figure out all that kind of stuff. And so that's what made me think about QBKS is just having a joyful attitude. You know, quit bitching about everything. Just have a joyful attitude and be happy. And so
sometimes you have to be happy where you're at.
Exactly.
You know, you have to be happy where you're at. This is a really awe-inspiring book, Mr. Hayes.
Thank you.
It's a journey. It's not complete. It's a daily thing, and that's what we all have to remember. It's a journey with a man, his dog, his family, his God, and getting back, like you said, you have two lives, before accident, after accident, and how you have adapted and blended those two worlds together to get to this point right here. Check it out. It's on Amazon. It's a great read. There's a picture of Tracy and Sophie on the back cover there. There's some great pictures in here. A devastating accident sent Mr. Hayes on a whole nother phase of his life and opened up some things that fortunately or unfortunately may not have happened. We never wish ill will on anyone, but that accident changed how you live and how others around you live forever. And I must say, I enjoyed this book immensely, and it's with great pride I get to call you friend.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Really, really appreciate it.
Check it out at Amazon. Doggone it. An inspiring book, seeing good in the day-to-day, and that's what we all try to do. I always say you got 365 days to do something good. Start now. Don't wait for the last 2 weeks of the year to start doing the good. Every day we've got to make just that little effort to make the world better. And Mr. Hayes, you do that. You make the world better every day just with your attitude and your efforts. And we thank you.
Thank you.
KGNC News, check it out. Amazon, doggone it, Mr. Tracy Hayes, a great book. Thank you for your time, sir.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.